Of you, I hope you've got a bulletin with you. If you don't have, raise your hand, we'll get one to you quickly. And can I encourage you to take notes, unless you've got a memory like mine, which is not very good. Alright. This morning we are so glad again to have back with us Dr. Wilson Lau. He's not just a speaker to us, he's a close friend. And he's been coming back so often, and whenever we need him, he comes back to minister the word to us. Wilson has been with the Campus Crusade for Christ, which is now called Crew Singapore. All right, the name has changed, and he's been with this ministry for more than 30 years, and now he's specially looking after members' care, those full-time workers who need encouragement and need ministry. He's also with the leadership development of the staff there. And he has preached in and taught in many other places, even including East Asia School of Theology. He's married, and with Pauline together, both of them have got two grown-up children. Today we're so glad he's going to bring us God's Word from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 12, Portrait of a Father.
My voice may not be very good. I'm kind of recovering from a week of flu and cough. So if in the midst of it I'm coughing, please forgive me, okay? Well, a man in a supermarket was pushing a trolley with a little crying, screaming baby inside. As the man was kind of just proceeding along the aisles, he kept repeating softly to himself, "Keep calm, George. Don't get excited, George. Don't get excited. Don't yell, George." A lady was watching with admiration, said to the man, "You are certainly to be commended for your patience in trying to calm little George." The man replied, "I am George." Well, I thank your pastor for inviting me to share God's word with you on this Father's Day. Father's Day is a very special day, a day set aside to honor all fathers. And we celebrate this occasion on the third Sunday of June. Woman named Sonora Smart Dodd from Washington thought of the idea of Father's Day while listening to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909. Her father, Henry Jackson Smart, had raised Sonora and her five other brothers after her mother died, and she wanted him to know how much, how special and how wonderful he was to her. Her father was born in June, so she chose that month to celebrate the Father's Day. She is so smart. Happy Father's Day to all of us. In fact, it should be called Happy Fathering Day. It's not just the role or the title that we hold as a father, but rather the responsibility as a father to our children. So happy Fathering Day. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we ask that you will guide us even as we look into this passage. Open our eyes to behold wonderful truth from it, and open our hearts to respond to it. Thanking you in Jesus' name. A little boy was lost in a supermarket. A helpful lady came to his rescue and led him through the aisles looking for his mother. Each time she asked, "Do you see your mother?" And the boy replied, "No." Finally, she stood him at the counter in the front of the store, right up there to be able to see everything at the supermarket. "Now, do you see your mother?" And the little boy replied, "No, I keep seeing my father." You know, oftentimes we stereotype the roles of mother and father. Mothers, they do the marketing, while dads, they read the newspaper. Mom, they do the cooking, while dad, they watch the television. Isn't that true? Dads, they reprimand the children, while mom comfort them. We have somewhat a negative view or picture of that of fathers. So they are the disciplinarians. They are the couch potatoes. They are often not at home, etc., etc. But I came across this poem, which gives an authentic, balanced picture of us as fathers. It's entitled "Fathers Are Wonderful People" by Helen Steiner Rice. Fathers are wonderful people, too little understood, and we do not sing their praises as often as we should. For somehow, the father seems to be the man who pays the bill, while mother binds up little hurts and nurses all our ills. And father struggles daily to live up to his image as protector and provider and hero for the scrimmage. And perhaps that's the reason we sometimes get the notion that fathers are not the subject to the thing we call emotion. But if you look inside dad's heart, where no one else can see, you will find he's sentimental and as soft as he can be. But he's so busy every day in the grueling race of life, he leaves the sentimental stuff to his partner and his wife. But fathers are wonderful, are just wonderful, in a million different ways, and they merit loving compliments and accolade of praise. For the only reason that aspires to fortune and success is to make the family proud of him and to bring them happiness. And like our Heavenly Father, he's a guardian and a guide, someone that we can count on to be always on our side. Isn't that a beautiful poem of us fathers? So now, fathers, I think you can pack your bag. You've done a great job. Or better still, children, you may want to pack your father's bag right now and say, you are just so wonderful. You know, it is well said that anyone can be a father, but it does take someone special to be a daddy. So what kind of a special father does the Bible want us to be? Let us read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8 to 12. Since my voice is not good, I'd like to invite the congregation to read it together, shall we? 1, 2, 3. Thank you. This passage tells us that Paul was like a father to the Thessalonian believers. So what sort of a father is he? How was he? How can we learn from him? From this passage, we can really highlight three W's, three pictures for us as fathers. First picture relate to that of our work. Fathers are to be hard-working providers for the family. Verse 9 read, "For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God." The father is to work hard to support his family. He's to be the provider and also a very hardworking provider. Now you and I know that the Apostle Paul made tent to support himself and also his traveling companion. No one could accuse Paul for being lazy. Acts chapter 20, verse 33, tells us that Paul worked hard in order to bless others. The two words found in verse 9, for labor and hardship, literally means vigorously working, leading to fatigue and weariness. So Paul worked very hard to care for the people in Thessalonica. It is very similar to the phrase I just mentioned in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, for working hard, which means toiling to exhaustion. It is not easy for Paul to make tents and to minister to the believers at the same time. No wonder Paul worked night and day. In the morning, he worked. All the way to the evening, he worked. He toiled because he loved the believers so much. He did not want to be a burden to them at all, but instead to be a blessing to them. In the same way, we as fathers are to work very hard so as to be a blessing to them and never to be a burden to them at all. I'd like to just address the children here. Children, please honor your father in a very special way today. He toils and he labors night and day just for you. He provides for all your basic needs and sometimes beyond that basic needs of yours. You guys live in what we call the M&M world. You live in a mobile and media world. You are the mobile and media generation. The iPod, the iPhone, the iPad, minus the iPad. Android phone, whatever phone that you might have, SMS, Facebook, Twitters, all these are second nature to you. Thank you so much. Many of you are enjoying these things because of your father. Honor and thank him for all that he has done for you, for all that he has provided for you. Do not take things for granted. Your father too also live in M&M world, making money and more money just to meet your needs and sometimes your fantasies too. Now who doesn't want to be a millionaire? Your dad wants to. Now who doesn't want to be a child of a millionaire? You want to, don't you? But I pray that we do not fall into the trap of enough is never enough, and then luxury becomes necessity. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, it teaches us to be contented. Contentment is not found in having everything, but it's being satisfied with what you already have. Contentment is not found in having everything, but it's being satisfied with what you already have. As fathers, all of us work hard to provide sufficient for our family, but we must never allow things or even money to compensate for other lacks in our family life. The Apostle Paul cautioned us that the love of money is the root to all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, that means longing for more money, have wandered away from the faith. I pray that will not happen to you. And then Jesus also teaches us in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, to beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possession. In other words, Jesus is saying, do not allow possession to possess you. Fathers, the first picture is that of our work. Be a diligent father who provides for your family. And I believe that I'm also speaking to myself on this. As a father, I need to provide for my family too. So this message is really for me. I'm speaking to myself. Second picture for a father concerns our walk. We are to be models of integrity. Verse 10, you are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you, believers. Fathers, we are to live so as to be godly models, godly examples to our children. Paul could call the Thessalonian believers as witnesses. You are witnesses, Paul said. They, the Thessalonian believers, observed his life, and Paul has been exemplary in every way. None of the Christians there in Thessalonica could accuse Paul of being a poor example. Furthermore, Paul was not afraid to call God as a witness that he had lived a dedicated life while working hard to care for the church at Thessalonica. Paul was willing to call Thessalonian believers, you are my witnesses. He was willing to call God as a witness too. Watch my life. And Paul was temporary in his conduct. Paul's life was devout, which means pious. He was committed. He was faithful. The verse also tells us that Paul was upright, and this refers to integrity, moral character, moral behavior, and not double standard. Verse 10 also tells us that Paul was blameless. This word does not mean sinless, does not mean Paul has no sin, but rather not able to find fault with him. No one in Thessalonica could point a finger at Paul. The church and God witnessed all these things about Paul's life and found him to be a man of integrity. Likewise, our children will be our witnesses. They watch our life, how we live it day in, day out. Remember, you can cheat a cheat. You can con a con, but you cannot kid a kid. They know immediately, they know for sure whether you are genuine or not. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 affirms that our children will be blessed when we walk in integrity. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his children after him. Would you like your children to be blessed? Then the Bible says, be a man of integrity. God notices our work of righteousness, and He will bless us, and He will bless our children too. One of the things I keep telling my children is, don't do anything that is immoral. Don't do anything that is unethical. Don't do anything that is illegal. I keep telling that over and over again. One application of this principle is that God is guiding me personally not to purchase pirated stuff, softwares or movies or DVDs or whatever it may be. Anything that is pirated, I'm not supposed to buy because it is illegal. It is unethical to do so. I write books, and when people copy my things, I feel very upset because it takes a lot of work and effort for me to do it. How can you just simply copy my work? So I will not buy that because it's illegal, unethical. I believe that my integrity is worth more than the $4 of a pirated DVD. And my children are aware of it. Come on, I paid $4 for it, and there goes my integrity. I believe my integrity is worth far, far more than the $4. Don't you think so? So each time you're thinking about that, think of the worth, the value of your integrity before God. I'm hoping and praying that our children, my children, will pursue after God and do things God's way. What would you like God? What would you like your children to say about you? Walk with integrity before God and before your children. I'm still speaking to myself on this area. Third picture of a father has to do with the word. We are to be encouraging teachers of God's truth. Verse 9 to 11. We proclaim to you the gospel of God, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. A father must not only support the family by working hard, he must not only be modeling a life of integrity and godliness, he must also take time to teach the family the truth of the Lord. This picture of a teacher at home is very much lacking in our role as fathers. Sad is the day when we relegate the teaching role to the school, to the tutor, to our spouse, to our domestic helper, and worst of all, to the television and the computer. Paul was very personal with the believers. He dealt with each one as a father would his own children. This personal relationship that Paul had with them gives him the right channel and the right environment to encourage, to exhort, and to implore them. The word exhort means to call to one side, to come alongside. It is like a good runner running beside someone who needs the little motivational push to carry on running and not to give up. Every child needs a steady companion like that of a father to come alongside him or her. Exhort your children. The word encourage means to comfort. It is not so much to make them feel better, but rather to do better. It is saying, you can do it. I believe in you. And finally, Paul implores the believers, which means he pleaded with them based on his own experiences. It is a personal testimony. He teaches them out of his own personal past experiences. It's like telling our life stories to our children. Long before your time, then you tell your story. When I was a little kid like you, then you tell your story. That's what we mean by imploring personal testimonies, helping our children to learn the truth. So, Father, we have to work hard. Our walk has to be godly, and we have to be teaching the Word, and the Word has to be taught educationally and motivationally. This text gives us two reasons why Paul ministered to the Thessalonians the way he did. First reason is found in verse 8, and that is a love for them. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us. Love. Love is the motivating reason for our fatherly ministry to our children's life. Paul worked very hard and modeled a godly life because the believers were very dear to him. And because they were very dear to him, Paul said, I not only teach you the gospel, I give you my life as well. The second reason is found in verse 12. The purpose of this fatherly ministry is that our children will walk worthy of God. Our children will walk worthy of God when we as parents walk worthy of God. Our children need to follow someone who truly follows after God. I pray that our motivation for being good fathers is that we love them and that we desire them to walk worthy of the Lord. Josh McDowell said that children spell the word love as T-I-M-E, time. To them, when we give time, we give love. The first fatherhood public perception survey in Singapore was done in 2009. It found that Singapore fathers spend less time with their children than the mothers. On an average day during the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, fathers typically spend 8.4 hours with their children, but together with other people present, compared with 10.5 hours for mothers, and 2.8 hours with their children alone, compared to 4.6 hours for mothers. We spend very little time for our children, even on weekend. 96% of the fathers that were surveyed wish they could have spent more time with their growing up kids. They wish they could do so. Are we one of the 96%? So tell your children that you really love them by spending good time with them after your work at the office. It is wise, really, fathers, for us to return home early each day to have a great dinner with our children, relax, and also do some meaningful activities with our family. Weekends are great opportunities for us to help with some of the household chores and be with our children as much as we can. Now, I really understand the term homework. We continue to work even at home. That's what it means, which means that our work includes our home as well. Please do not separate your office work as work and your home is not work. It is not. It is home work. We don't get paid working at home, but it is most rewarding. Our children will one day rise up and call you blessed. Don't you like that? I would love that. It is not an easy task to balance work, family, and other commitments, but I pray that God will grant us wisdom and the grace to do so. You and I have probably heard of the story of a man returning very late one evening, and then his 8-year-old son asking him how much he earned in an hour. You heard of the story? With frustration, after a day's work, the father replied that he earned about $20 an hour. Then the son asked for $10 more from the dad because he only had $10, and then he requested to buy an hour of the father's time. Don't you think that would be a sad day when this thing happened? That our children need to buy our time. Our children long for our time and our attention, more so when they are young. And when we give undivided, attentive moments to our children, we demonstrate practically to them how much we truly love them. Do things with your children so that they feel cherished, they feel precious, they feel proud to have a dad like you. Three pictures of a father. Our work, our walk, our word. WWW. An easy reminder. As you surf the internet the next time, remind yourself of your role as a father. And children too, as you surf the net, remind yourself of your father's ministry in your life. I'd like to just end this sermon with a poem that my children wrote to me on Father's Day 2 years ago. It's entitled, A Father Like You. Those are my two children, Jonathan and Johanna. It warms my heart each time I read it, and I have it right now, right in front of me at my table. Every time I sit there, it reminds me of my children's love for me. We just want you to know you mean the world to us. Only a heart as dear as yours would give so unselfishly. The many things you have done, all the times that you were there, help us to know deep down inside how much you really care. Even though we might not say it, we appreciate all you do. So richly blessed is how we feel for having a father just like you. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you wish your children will write a poem to you like that? I can die peacefully right now. Hopefully more poems from my children. Like the child who was lost in the supermarket, I pray that our children will keep seeing their father the way God intended them to be. Children, take the lead today. Be the leader today. Make this the bestest Father's Day for your dad. Bring him out for a great, great lunch or a great, great dinner. Do something that your dad would just be so proud of you. Do it today. Let's pray, shall we? Dear God, you are our Father. And you love us perfectly and eternally. And you shepherd us with such beautiful fatherly care. God, I pray for all fathers here. Ask the Lord you will grant them wisdom. Guide them to be the very best role models they could be. And as loving as they could possibly be to their children as well. Help them, Lord, to be a father just like you. Grant them grace. Grant them patience. To handle situations, even difficult situations, in the most loving way. To the children without any dad or without any fathers today, or the fathers who are absent, I pray the Lord these children will find comfort in you as their Heavenly Father, who is always with them, loving them, and never, never once fail them. I pray for the children too, whose dads are around, that Lord they will appreciate their dad, that they will treasure the relationship. They'll be most grateful for all that they have in life, and the Lord, they will know what it means to rise up and bless their fathers. Thank you so much for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.